Okay. Ready, aim, fire. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, we thank you for the great worship, Father, that you always inhabit the praises of your people. So we thank you for the spirit of freedom and liberty here. Father, you tell us in your word that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we bind Satan off this service and off of everyone here. We bind that tiredness in Jesus' name off of every person. Father, we just loose the spirit of life and liberty and freedom and energy into this church, Lord. Lord, where the word goes forth, Lord, there is life abundantly, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for opening our ears and our eyes to hear and see you and to really comprehend you more in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight is about leadership lessons from Jesus on prayer. And when you look at Jesus, he is the master son. He is the one that we should emulate in everything that we do. You know, like that song said, to be like you. That really is our goal in life, is to be like him in every way. And so that's really why the Holy Spirit is alive in our life, is so that we can become more and more like him. How many here are different than they were 5 years ago? Amen. See, he's working all the time, you know. And so sometimes I look at myself and I think, wow, that was different, you know. I would have never reacted that way before, in a good way like that. So we should model our life after him, because he is the master son. Now, he lived a life of prayer. And because he lived a life of prayer, there was a lot of action to follow on with that prayer. There was a real connection in the word in terms of what he does in the background and then what he does in public. And so we want to really unlock that and look at that, because there's some keys for us in that today. In its simplest form, prayer is open communication with God. I mean, it is, and in communication, it is just as much hearing as it is speaking. You know, if we were going to go to dinner and you wanted to know something from me, and so I just said, I've got an hour and that's about all I've got to do, and so for the hour you do nothing but talk, and then 2 minutes before I got to leave, you say, well, let me ask you these things. Well, no, we can't. See, we should, when we want to know something, we need to be hearing and ready to hear and not occupy all the conversation. So when we pray, it's open communication with God, because we need to hear from him. He is the one that knows it all. He knows how this place works. He knows how things can unravel, and he knows how to put them back together. He knows how to make things work. He knows where everything's hidden. He knows where all the treasures are of darkness. He knows where everything is. He knows how everything works. He's smart. Amen. And so when we approach him, we always got to be careful as to not to be doing all the talking, because he wants to actually put some information in our hands to help us. And so we've got to always be willing to stop and listen, you know, and not just keep going all the time. And so it's an open communication with God. God so desires to speak to us. He so desires to show us things. He so desires to unlock things and to make you more powerful than you are today. So our success as a child of God is tied to our investment in prayer. We desperately need to commune with the one who knows it all. So, number two, leaders become empowered by the Holy Spirit for missions. Luke 3, verse 21 says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. It's amazing, you know, we don't really notice the fact that, you know, he was praying right when he came up out of the water after being baptized. He was praying. And so he was right in form. You know, this was his first burst onto the scene in his ministry. And so the first thing we see of him, he was baptized and he was praying when he came up out of the water. Now notice what happened last second. He says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, so he prayed and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now he's got power. Now he's ready to go. Now he is equipped to move. And in that, think about this now. He had hundreds of prophecies to fulfill. There was no room for error. None. If he would have made one mistake, if he would have just told somebody off, I mean, it would have been over. He would have sinned. He walked around. He had people cheering for him and wanted to make him king. He had people trying to kill him all in the same day. And so he had every known temptation that could come to a person came at him. Every sense of entrapment, Satan tried to trap him. And so he had to walk it out perfectly in order for this to happen. And see, when to do that, to be that accurate, you need the Spirit of God on the inside of you to cause that to happen and to help him to happen. So with that, he chose to walk this life out as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He had all the power of God on the inside of him, but if you'll read Philippians chapter 2, he chose to set all of that aside. And so he walked as a man filled with the Holy Ghost in the power of God. Why? To show us how to do it. See, that's what we always should be studying him and looking at that and saying, this is how he feels about that. This is how he reacts to that. This is how this is supposed to work. See, he was teaching and showing people how to do this, how to live this life successfully. And so he should always be one that we're constantly studying. Now, when he was baptized, he was praying, and then the Holy Ghost descended upon him. And it was a picture of what was yet to come on the book of Acts, and then what happened here last Sunday when Pastor Mark talked about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus was that prototype son that walked in the power of God and showed us how to do it. So our life, really, wouldn't you like to be more accurate in your life? Wouldn't you like to be more right than wrong? Wouldn't you like to just, you know, hit more than you miss, you know, that kind of thing? Wouldn't you like to be more victorious? Wouldn't you like to know what's going to happen before it happens? Wouldn't you like to know that what you're doing is in the right thing? Wouldn't you love to know the path that God has for you? Wouldn't you like to get up each and every day and go, I know I'm in the right place. I know I'm doing the right thing. Man. See, that's the picture here, because he was a prayer and he was a seeker of the will of God. And so he was in constant communication with God himself on what to do next, how to carry this out, how to live this life. So we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to guide us. He is here to help us. He is here to make us more and more like him. And so we always got to remember, he has equipped us to walk that way. Third, leaders fast and pray for direction, knowing the plan and discovering the purpose. See, in Luke 4, he says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, Mark chapter 1 says that the Holy Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. So here's the scene. He's praying. The Spirit of God spoke to him and said he was proud of him. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, gave him a sense of urgency that he needed to be in the wilderness. Why? Well, he was fasting and praying. Man, Not a great subject, is it? Fasting and praying. But leaders fast and pray to know the will of God. Why? Because he had to know what the plan was. He had to know what he needed to do next. See, because he communed with his Father and he heard what it was all about. He marched forth in the power of God. But also, we need to fast and pray to know what God really wants us to do. See, if you don't know what God wants you to do, if you're struggling with that, if you're stuck somewhere, if you don't know why you are what you are, if you don't know where, you know, all these things and have all these questions, we need to do like Jesus. We need to fast and pray until we get the answers. Why? Well, that doesn't cause God to talk to us. What it does cause is for us to be spiritually in tune with him and to hear his voice so clearly. See, because when we fast and pray and we put all this stuff aside, all of a sudden we can hear things so much better and know more about what's going on, what to do. So we need to look at Jesus' life. And he went off and fasted and prayed. Now, so pressing in to know the will of and plan of God in your life and to hear clearly and to get clarity or breakthrough on something. When you get serious with God on anything, when you decide you're going to do something about God, the devil always comes. Shouldn't be any surprise to us. He's part of the deal, okay? He is very, very faithful in this. He comes to steal the word, and he comes to take you off the path, and he comes to say, okay, you're wasting your time, you know, things like that. When I have fasted and prayed, I have never gotten so many meal invitations in all my life. I have never had so many people show up that I hadn't seen for years all of a sudden wanting to visit. I've never had so many meetings back-to-back in my life with conference calls at night and everything else. You know, and all these things. See, well, what is all that? Well, that's all the stuff to just take you off the track and get you off the path. See, because he'll throw anything at you to get you to stop. Why? Because you're dangerous. You're moving in a direction that's dangerous to him, because once you know what it is that God has really called you to, boy, you are really going to be able to walk with power and give him a lot of trouble. So you're going to have all these things happening. It's an amazing thing. You know, we'll pray at our house and phone will just start ringing. We can just tell. It's a here it comes. And the phone's ringing. You have to unplug it. So it's just so we can pray. Well, what is that? That's the people don't know what they're doing, but the devil knows what he's doing. So we always have to get away somewhere. And when we're unsettled about something, when we don't quite know what's going on or what we need to do, we need to get clarity on it. We need to really seek God's will on this and hear his voice and be willing to give up some meals. You don't have to do 40 days. I mean, I've never done anything like that. But, you know, you do it until you have breakthrough. Amen? Don't get too many amens on fasting and praying. Number four, leaders should pray before making major decisions. Looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. So he had an all-night prayer session. Why? How critical of a decision was this? Think about it. How critical was this decision? He was going to choose, he had disciples, and he was going to choose 12 that were going to represent going forward in the future. that he was going to pour everything into them possible to ready them for taking over after he went on. And so he could not make a mistake choosing the wrong people. What a disaster would that be if he chose the wrong people and just said, hey, you look good, you look religious, come on over here. No, he wanted to know who those 12 were. And it's amazing to me that one of the 12 was the people that, one of the ones that betrayed him. And he knew when he picked him that he was going to betray him. Boy, how gutsy is that? He knew it was him. And he picked him on purpose on that. See, if he'd have picked the wrong person, then he would have had to done something else. So it was an awesomely critical thing because he knew he was only here for a certain time. And so he had to spend that night in prayer making sure that he knew who those people were. And so when he came down off that mountain, he knew who he needed to name on there, because right, he had heard those names before. And so we need to use this as a picture in our life. You know, you may have opportunities to move somewhere, or opportunities to take a job somewhere, or opportunities to do all kinds of things. Boy, you know, wouldn't it be nice to hear from the Lord on, is that really what he wants you to do? Because I can guarantee you, you can really waste a lot of time for a number of years choosing the wrong thing, choosing the wrong person, choosing a lot of things. And so we always got to be willing, you know, all night, you know, if that's what it takes, whatever it takes, we need to pray through to hear from God before we have those critical decisions in front of us. And so I know in my life, I wished I would have done that on a number of things. And so, you know, we just keep trying to improve and get better on that. So God knows the outcome before he tells you what the answer is. He already knows how it's going to play out. When he tells you something, he already knows what it's going to result in. I mean, we may be like, what? You want me to do what? Anybody ever have one of those? You want me to do what? You know, what does that have to do with this? You know, but then it turns out great. Why? Because he knew how it was going to work out. See, he knows how, when he tells you something, he knows how that's going to unfold. And so he's not telling you something to get you lost somewhere. He's telling you, here's the best path right here. Here's where you need to be. And so we really can't afford to waste a lot of time with the wrong things in our life. And so we need to really seek him out and be willing to spend the time praying. 5, leaders' daily decisions should be preceded by prayer. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." So he spent early morning in prayer, got up early. Don't know how early that was, but he got up early. Spent that time in prayer. He had just had a successful campaign. Things were looking good. People were showing up. And so the Lord tells him, go to the next town. You know, it's amazing. God knows where we need to be. He knows where we need to, each and every day. And so Jesus routinely would do this. He would seek out the plan and purpose of God, and if God told him, well, you need to go over here, then he would go over there. Why? Because that's where the power of God is. See, that's when we walk out the plan of God and we do what he wants us to do on a daily basis, and if the Lord tells us to be somewhere and we're there, That's where the power, that's where the miracles, that's where the miraculous happens. And if we don't go, then we miss it. And somebody else has all the fun. So he wants us to look to him daily. Pastor Mark talked about this a couple weeks ago on the Lord's Prayer, and he said, give us this day our daily bread, that every day we should be asking him for not just only provision, but every day we should be asking for direction. Lord, where do I need to be today? What am I supposed to be doing today? I know I got a job, but what do I need to be doing there? Or do we need to go somewhere else? Or do I need to go meet with somebody? Or what do you want me to do? See, I should be really our early morning prayer session should be a lot of that. What do you want me to do today? Anything you want me to do for you today? You know, and just see what the Lord has to say about that day. He may have a divine appointment for you that you would not want to miss. But if we don't ever ask, then we don't know, and then we miss it. So here Jesus was asking where he needed to be. Now let's look at Luke. Luke 9, verse 28, it says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, James, and John and went up on a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robes became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he had about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Now, it's amazing to me that Jesus invited them up to pray, and they went with him. And so when they were there, all of a sudden, he started, as he was praying, he started glistening. And so if they would have been busy that day, or if they would have had another appointment and they needed to go see about something else, or if they would have decided they were hungry that day, they would have missed that. They would have missed seeing all this scene right here. See, and so he went to pray, and they were obedient to go with him, and they witnessed something that nobody else got to witness. They got to witness the transfiguration. And so they weren't expecting that. They weren't saying, hey, let's go up there and let's just see something neat. They just thought they were going up there to pray. And so they got a lot more out of that than everybody else did. So we always got to be open to what the Lord wants us to do each day. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Then he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now evening was come, and he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down on the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, Jesus was up praying, and he had already told the disciples to go to the other side. And so he was spending his time in prayer. And you know, who would have thought that he would have walked on the water to get to them? You know, so they were astonished at first, and then Peter caught on and decided that he was going to walk on the water also. But all of that came out of a prayer session that Jesus was in. See, when you hear from God, he's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you to do things that seemingly are impossible to you. And he already knows that people can't float, okay? But they can with him. Amen? He already knows that situations are impossible, but they're not impossible with him. Amen? He already knows that you've been beaten, but you're not beaten with him. Amen? So he can take situations that seem just totally crazy and turn them around and make it look victorious and impact the lives of a lot of people. So we always got to be open to him, and that really came out of a prayer session where he was up on the mountain to pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, and it happened that when he was in a certain city, and behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Just as Moses commanded, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So verse 16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. How often? Often. Often. It was something that he did quite a bit. And so here was all these people, and he was ministering to the people, but then he would disappear. Why? He needed to hear. He needed to hear from God. And in Sagatha, he didn't need to hear all what these people were saying. I mean, people will puff you up and make you feel really, really great by yourself, and sometimes you just don't need that. And so when they were told him that when people started wanting him to be king, he went off into the wilderness to pray to get away from that. He didn't need to hear that. And so he was ministering to people, but he would often do this. It was a normal thing with him. Why? Because he needed to commune with his Father, and so do we. So we need to always be looking for opportunities throughout the day to just say, Lord, tell me what to do next. I'm here. What are we doing? What do I need to be doing? And so that's what he was doing in a sense. Number six, leaders convert unprofitable time into prayer time. Luke 11 says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I thought this was interesting because they were waiting on him to finish praying. So they were used to him praying. You know, and so they wanted to ask him something, but they were waiting. You know, they were giving him, they knew that they shouldn't interrupt. So it was a normal thing that they saw him praying. And so once he would finish praying, then they would converse, and he would say, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's what Pastor Mark is talking about on the Lord's Prayer. So they had witnessed miraculous signs, wonders, miracles. They had seen the most awesome miracles, all these people being healed, demons being cast out, all these things going on. And they had seen him praying all the time. And so they were relating this, that because he prays so much, that the anointing of God is upon him and the power of God is upon him, that they wanted to know more about that. So they were inquiring, saying, teach us how to pray like that. Teach us how to walk like this. Because they saw what was happening in his life. Now, all of us, you know, we always say we don't have any time. If you ask anybody if they have any spare time, the answer is no. Don't even ask. But we all have time. I mean, one thing I did about 8 months ago, I spent about 2 hours a day on the road. And so I started turning the radio off, praise the Lord, and actually put CDs into the player and started listening to preaching and singing and other things. And it has made just a huge difference. I can't tell you how much difference it's made in outlook on life, hearing from God, seeing things, praying. And so converting drive time into spiritual time, into hearing from God, into prayer time. See, whether you drive half an hour, 5 minutes, whatever it is, always take the opportunity to hear from God. I mean, the people around you, their lives depend on it. I probably have saved many a person's life by praying while I was driving. So there are times like going to games. I mean, when you have kids or grandkids, you go to games. And so, you know, just sitting there watching them run back and forth and things like that. Well, you know, you could just sit there and pray and seek the Lord, you know, and not bother anybody. Just try to do better than me. I'd clap at the right time, you know, because every once in a while I would just clap out of response because I saw something, but it was the wrong team. But other than that, you know, you're trying to convert time into quality time to really hearing and really desiring to hear from God. You know, He can speak to you anywhere. But if our mind is preoccupied and we're just rattling stuff, then we won't hear from Him. And so converting that time, looking for that time, trying to make time anywhere that you can. You know, if you need to take walks, that's a good thing to do. And just spend that time praying in the Spirit, just praying to the Lord, seeking God, and hearing from Him because He wants to speak to us. So, number 7, leaders pray through when pressure is intense. Leaders pray through when pressure is intense. Matthew 26, verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me." He went a little further and fell on His face and praying, saying, "Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, My Father, if this cup cannot pass away from Me, unless I drink it, Your will be done." And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then He came to His disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. See, My betrayer is at hand." Now, the pressure here on Him was intense. I mean, it's hard to fathom how intense that was, you know. And clearly he was really struggling with this. And so I think anybody would, you know. So, but he was struggling with it, and he prayed 3 times. He would come back and would pray the same thing 3 times. But he was trying to get connected with heaven on this. And here, you know, was there any other way? That's what he was seeking out. Was there another option here? Was there a plan B here somewhere on that? And what he kept hearing back 3 times was, you know, "Now this is the will. We've got to go through with this." Now, it looked dark. It looked like, you know, for the next 4 days, it looked even worse, and it looked like everything was over. But there was a resurrection day, amen? And so even in our times, when pressure comes on us, you know, when we're just feeling like, "Man, I don't know if I can do anything right or not here," you know, but we stay connected to God. We just keep seeking after the Lord and keep seeking His face. And it may look bad. It may look like it's all over. You know, I know several times in my life I thought, "Well, that was it for me. I'm about ready to check out," you know. But there's always, God always has a plan to raise you up out of that. Amen? And so we, no matter the pressure, we do like Jesus and we say, Lord, is there anything out of this? Is there any other way here? You know, but we just keep knowing that he has the best for us. He has a plan for us. So it's critical to know the will of God and then to do what it is that we need to do. And even though it may look like it's over, it's not over, because with God, it's never over. Amen? Because he's able to even raise from the dead. Let's turn in your Bibles to John 16 and verse 13, and we'll close here. John 16, verse 13. Jesus is speaking, and it says in verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Has the Spirit of truth come? Okay. So he has come. And so that's one of the jobs of the Spirit of truth, is he is to guide us into all truth. And he is to show us things to come. See, in order to do that, I've got to be hearing him. I've got to have my ears open to hear what the Lord says. And when I say that, most of the time with me, it's just this unction that comes up from here of something I'm supposed to do, you know? So it's not necessarily a voice per se, but it's like just a knowing that comes up that something's speaking to me on the inside of me. So he speaks, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So the Father has made known to the Son all things. Everything. Everything. Can you say everything? Everything. Everything. And he has made that known to the Son. And the Son is speaking that to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us is here to guide us in those things and guide us in that knowledge and to speak what is true to us. See, it's a very close, intimate communication connection. See, it's just like Jesus when he was walking the earth. God was speaking to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. Jesus said that I do all the things that my Father tells me to do. So we need to be very aware of what God is wanting us to do. And so you do that through prayer, and you do that with that open communication, and you do that with hearing him and taking the time to hear him. Because if you keep talking all the time and rattling out all the problems, God knows them all. He's got them all down. He knows before they even happen that we're going to be problems, okay? But we need to just, at the end of that, just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to shut it down. Tell me what it is I need to do. Tell me where I need to go. And then we are to pick that up and go with that. See, that's how we start walking in the power of God, because he will anoint that which he directs. And because we're directed by him, we'll see a greater power in our life and a greater impact in our life, because he'll not only reveal things about you, but he'll reveal things about others that he wants you to impact and pray about and cause things to happen. So we need to be open for that. So that really comes with our ability to spend much time with him, as much as we possibly can, and to treasure that time, you know, to really prize that time with him, to hear what he has to say, and just key in on it. And don't get frustrated that you sit there for half an hour and you don't hear anything. You know, it's okay. You know, he still got things to say. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit in our life. We thank you for Jesus going before us and setting an example in leadership and prayer and how to pray. Father, I just ask you to stir up hearts of all of us to pray more, to seek you out more, to hear your voice, to understand your ways and be directed by you. Lord, everybody here on Wednesday night desires to know you better. Father, they so desire to walk in the power of God and to impact others. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have secrets, you have things that you want to open up to us, you have direction that you would like to give to each one of us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that there would be just such a hunger that would stir up in our hearts that we would so desire to hear you out and then be able to do that. We thank you, Lord, because you've instructed us to do these things, that you've also empowered us and given us the power to carry them out and the grace to carry them out. So we praise you and we thank you, Lord. We just speak to our ears that our ears are open to you, that our eyes are open to you, Lord, that all of every part of our being is open to you. And Lord, we just so desire to know you more and more and more, and we thank you for it, Lord. We just praise you for it, and thank you, Lord, that mysteries, that revelations will unfold in the heart of each and every person. We just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you would like prayer, you could come forward. Otherwise, have a good and godly evening. Amen. Yeah.